And there's where I would say is the difference between the world that talks about a Jesus coming again versus those who are the Lord's, who gaze steadfastly but wait on this one who is the Lord, who is coming again in like manner as we have seen him go. In other words, bodily. There is going to be a physical resurrection. There's going to be a physical coming again. There is going to be an eternal dwelling with him forever in his presence, from what I read in Scripture. And that's the one to whom we look with the same toward heaven. That's where all things flow from heaven. All of God's purpose being worked out from heaven. And I know the only reason that Christ hasn't come back again is because there must be yet one of those sinners that he has redeemed that he must yet bring to this fold. For Christ said, them also I must bring. Because he's going to have every last one of them. But that's the one that we wait upon. You ever inquired that? When you see the darkness all around, you see the darkness even within. It doesn't matter how much we know and understand this gospel. Isn't one of our biggest enemies within our own heart that unbelief, that sin nature that continues there, that would lull us to sleep were it not that the Spirit of God give us an interest to cry out again, what of the night? If you go over to Romans chapter 13 in verse 11, these are words that are addressed to believers. These are ones that the Lord has already been pleased to teach concerning Christ and his goodness and grace through his blood and righteousness. And yet, you see the exhortation here, Romans 13, verse 11, that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You know, we can never go back into perdition, but we can certainly get lulled to sleep. Insensitive many times, even to the preciousness of this message that we're privileged to hear week in and week out. Someone told me this a couple weeks ago. They had to go to a funeral, and they hadn't been outside these walls as far as a worship service in some time. And when they came back, they said, man, I never realized just how dark it is. And how blessed we are to hear week in and week out this message that glorifies Christ alone and points us to him as needy sinners.
But here, it's not a remedy. Her end is bitter as wormwood. This is a poison. I didn't study out what wormwood is, but it's a poisonous herb or plant, sharp as a two-edged sword. Whatever seems pleasurable for the time only leads to destruction. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. In verse 6, lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. That's why in religion they keep changing up the programs. Someone told me years ago, they said, be careful, whatever calling card you use to bring people into the congregation, you're going to have to keep doing to keep them. And think about what verse 6 is saying, lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life. Making the client comfortable, making them feel good about themselves, lest they should really consider their end. You know why works religion keeps people busy? They don't want them thinking about the deception. They don't want them thinking about hell and condemnation or God's judgment or holiness. Like one popular preacher said, why would I preach on sin? That's just very despondent. We want to be positive. That's the whore. Keeping people's minds off of, like it says here, the path of life. the path of life is Christ. I dare say, if anybody were to accept the call into one of these places and begin to do nothing but preach Christ and Him crucified, it would be as Christ did taking a rope into the temple and chasing out the money changers. You would watch that number go down, go down, go down, because people in their natural selves do not want to think about the path of